Do you ever have like questions that you ask yourself in your own head, but then you never really follow through with, but they kind of come up every now and again and you're like, oh yeah, like isn't it supposed to be this way and not that way? Well, I swear when I was little, encyclopedia, the English word encyclopedia at the end was spelled P-O-E-A-D-I-A.
Yeah.
And the O and the E were kissing. But it's not spelled that way anymore. But did I just imagine that?
I don't think so.
It's always P-E-D-I-A on the end now, but I thought there was I remember thinking it was encyclopoedia or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that rings a bell for me too. Do you want me to Google it?
I guess we'll never know. I don't
probably what do they call that? When you think you remember something, but then you go back and look at it and what's that called?
Being old.
It's like when everybody misremembers something collectively. You know what that, you know what the term for that is, Alan?
Gaslighting. No, I don't know.
Oh, Mandela effect. Jeez, God, why couldn't I remember that? It's so annoying.
Mandela.
Yeah, and it's named after some, I think it's named after some kind of collective misremembering of something about Nelson Mandela. But
Really?
Yeah, I don't know the details.
So I was going to say, God, this is terrible. This is just... Shit, I feel like I'm an intelligent person, but then sometimes we have these conversations and maybe it's just like the idea that it's being recorded. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so dumb. Like, is like Nelson Mandela, the first prime minister of Democratic South Africa, is that the thing that people is that the thing that's not correct? Am I?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what the thing is that's not correct. Do you want me to look it up?
No, I don't want to just Google things. I want to talk to you about stuff that I don't know.
That's totally fair. Unfortunately, you're talking to like a blank-minded child who doesn't have any, who's unable to retain any information. So, I didn't even remember the name of the Mandela effect until I looked it up on Google. So that's what you're dealing with here, Alan.
But now
you're dealing with a person who has no actual knowledge of anything.
But I'm going crazy that like there is some huge, massively indoctrinated incorrect fact about Nelson Mandela that everybody believes that I can't even imagine what that would be.
I don't know. I wish we could have a conversation about it because I wish I remembered what it was. But maybe it'll have to be follow up. I don't know. It's going to have to be follow up because I'm caught between a rock and a hard place because you won't let me Google it. So.
Okay. Why did we start talking about that?
Because we needed a cold open.
Oh, God. Sure. Surely it's your time or your turn to do the intro, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it is my turn to do intro. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Food Court. I'm Shale McDonald, and I'm here with my co-host, Alan Sutterby. How are you, Alan?
Pretty good.
We are two chefs in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We love food and we love to talk about it. All right, Alan, we're on the podcast now. We made it through the intro.
Shale, where I grew up in Southwest Calgary, we had this real loser MP. His name was Rob Anders.
Okay.
And there was this time where the Canadian Parliament was trying to give honorary citizenship to Nelson Mandela. And he refused. He was like, he's a criminal. He's a criminal. He cannot.
Oh my God.
Anyways, that's one of the things I know about Nelson Mandela. And yeah, it was embarrassing for our riding. Well, for me.
Yeah, no kidding.
But
no wonder you moved.
Yeah, exactly.
What a mess.
Yeah, Rob Anders is a loser. I don't know where he is now.
Racist.
But, possibly. I don't know exactly what his
sounds like. He's racist.
Anyways. Jinx.
Do we have any follow-up, Alan?
Shit, it feels like it's 10 years since we talked.
Yeah, it has been. Because the last time we recorded like quite a while before the release of the show.
Yeah.
And just to pull back the curtain a little bit, right now we're recording this, not the day before release, but like the day
36
before.
36 hours before.
Yeah, the day before release eve. So yeah, whatever I do, whatever this conversation turns into, I have to edit it tomorrow and turn it into a podcast for release.
You're going to have a lot of stuff to cut out too. That was all that political stuff about Rob Anders and Nelson Mandela. It's got to go.
That's gold. It's all staying in. In fact, I'm committing right now to not cutting a single word. I'm just going to put this. This is going to be the first time we release the raw recording.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, well, I have to cut that out.
But not only has it been a few weeks since we've recorded, it's just been, I don't know, September is a whirlwind for me because I go from like vacation mode to I go from 0 to 100 basically is what I'm saying real quick. And yeah, lots happened at school and in kitchens and my brother got married. I went on a little family trip and went to a wedding.
Yeah,
kind of
amazing.
A family reunion, and
I haven't talked to you since then, really.
No, right? Just the only time.
Yeah,
the only times we've talked since then is me calling you to say, actually, I can't record tonight.
Yeah, it's been pretty tough for us to find a time that would work.
Yeah. So
but here we are.
But all that to say, follow up. Where to begin, Shale? Probably nothing like really. Relevant to our previous conversations, but
oh, actually I have a piece of follow-up, but I forgot about it until just now, and it actually involves a physical item, and I don't have it here right now. I'm just gonna run and grab it, and I'll just add in some sound effects of me like running down some stairs,
like the old Simpsons joke, like when someone runs away and then you hear the car starting. Yeah, okay, got it.
Yeah, I'll be right. Yeah, if you hear my car start, you know you're in trouble because my car doesn't have a motor. So, okay, I'll be right back.
Your car does have a motor. It just doesn't have an internal combustion engine, I think is what you mean. Because I think a motor is just something that converts potential energy into mechanical energy. So it definitely has a motor.
What the heck? I can't find it. Disaster. Sorry, Alan. I know your time is precious.
The Mandela effect refers to a widespread false memory that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 1980s. Oh, but why would people think that when he was on TV in the news in the 90s? I don't understand. Sorry, I spoiled the follow-up.
Alan, I have a piece of follow-up, actually. But unfortunately, it involves a recipe card that my mom gave me to give to you, and I can't find the recipe card. I swear I left it in a place where I knew where it was, but I can't find it now.
What was it a recipe
but
for?
It's rhubarb follow-up.
Okay, yeah.
So after listening to the last episode, Betty Ann heard us talking about the stuff that we do with rhubarb and the stuff that you do with rhubarb specifically, and she has a friend named Kathy, who has a lot of rhubarb in her yard. Mm-hmm. And so she gave me this recipe that was like from Kathy. Mm-hmm. And it was like I believe it was like a frozen rhubarb thing, some kind of like frozen rhubarb dessert or something.
Cool.
But unfortunately, I don't actually remember what it was, and I don't have the recipe somehow. I'm sure as soon as we're finished recording, I'm going to find it. So I guess it's follow-up for another piece of follow-up that we'll have in the next episode.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to learn about it.
Yeah, I'm dismayed that I can't find it. I don't know what I did with it, which is weird because I don't really misplace things all that often, but... Mm-hmm. Anyways,
and for it to be a recipe card, that's pretty special too.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. It looks exactly like one of my mom's recipe cards, mm-hmm. which is like, that's precious materials there.
They don't grow in every bush shill.
No.
You know that one?
No, I don't.
You don't know that one? Know what that oh. is. They don't grow in every bush. It's like, you don't see that every day. Like it's like a special thing. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I actually haven't heard that colloquialism before, I don't think. Or I'm sure I've heard it before, but I didn't realize it was like a thing.
The only place that I know it from is the Disney Corporation published a series of books in the 1980s that I had in my home. And one of them was called Button Soup. And at the end.
Which is also the name of your blog, your weblog.
That's true. Yeah. And in the last page of that book, Uncle Scrooge, is that the character? Uncle Scrooge says,
McDuck.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Scrooge McDuck. Yeah, okay. He says, nieces like
Duck
that.
DuckTales.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have him. Yeah. To me, I only think of Disney's Christmas Carol. So I'm like, to me, he's Ebenezer Scrooge. But
oh, right. Yeah,
anyways, yeah. He says, nieces like that don't grow on every bush. And wow. Because he's got a great niece. But anyways, anything else? I look forward to the recipe card from
Kathy. No, I think that's it for the follow-up train. It's basically nothing. Basically fruitless follow-up that I was supposed to have is what we wound up with.
Like a prop comic that forgot his kit or something.
Yeah, exactly. I left my suit, my old wooden trunk full of props
back at
the hotel. So now what are we going to do?
Improv.
Oh, no. Kind of is improv a little bit. What's our topic? I don't even know how to describe this topic, Alan. Do you want to take a stab at it?
Sure. Yeah, I can do that. I've had... In the class that I'm teaching at culinary school now, every week or two, I have this opportunity to develop a menu with the students. And I haven't like discussed it with them, but in the back of my mind now, I have this like looming, like the specter of AI is always looming in the back of my mind.
And like I'm, as a teacher who like has to make sure that their students aren't just like are actually learning something and not just getting all of their canned responses out of a chatbot.
To some extent, yes, but actually, like, so I think that being in a skilled trade, the students are not AI can't help the students quite the same way as they can in some of the more academic courses, like, because there are far fewer written submissions that they need to make,
right?
And really they're being as like I'm standing beside them and watching them cook food, and that's right. How they're being assessed, and so they can't really
the
rely.
Practical knowledge is the more important aspect of what they need to learn.
Yeah, regardless of what AI can produce for them on their screens, they still need to make this forcemeat or cook this fish or whatever it is. But in these creative exercises that we do where we have to make a menu for this class, it's specifically a menu for a cold, like a garde-manger buffet. So largely cold or like traditional garde-manger preparations for a buffet.
For a lunch buffet?
Yeah, for a lunch buffet. Okay. So basically like the salads and the canapes and the... cured items and sausages and gravlax and stuff like that.
Right.
We'll usually settle on some kind of loose theme, and then we need to kind of like, plug in all the spots on this kind of menu template that we have. And I'm just curious, because we've touched on this before, but the creative side of, what's it called? Language model. Jump in here. Large language models.
LLMs.
Even though they're developed just on like what is the common usage of language, they're able to like do some pretty creative problem solving and genuinely creative work, as we've discussed in one of our previous episodes. And so I was curious, and I swear that like this was all kind of developed organically, either just from my experience or from conversations with students. Given a theme and given a broad theme, like say a region or some kind of culinary tradition, and then given a template of like, you know, you need this many salads, and within that, some of them should be leafy green salads and some should be based on starch or potato and some should be, you know, vegetable and blah, blah, blah. How similar what we came up with is to what something like ChatGPT would tell you.
Come up with.
Or did we like miss any obvious things that it would point out, or I don't know. That's the idea.
Okay.
And it really is. This is a continuation or like a further exploration of the, I think that the discussion we had was called Chefs Need Not Apply. And so it's like, how important is your experience and creativity as a chef in the imminent future in which we have robot overlords?
Like how good are you at producing different flavors of lubricating oil, I guess, is like when the robots take over, nobody's going to need to eat anything.
Right.
I think this is an interesting idea. Just that, like a little bit to go a little bit deeper on, well, firstly, have you, so you've given out some of these menu assignments to the students already then, right?
Right.
You told me about three of them.
Yeah, we've done three buffets so far this year.
Okay, so you've produced the three that you told me about, you've produced them already?
Yep, that's right, Tim.
Okay, great. So one of them, the theme was Southern Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, the theme was Oktoberfest. That sounds like that would be the most recent one.
Yep.
And one of them would be, and one of them was Pacific Rim.
Yep.
So when you handed out the assignment, I guess the idea was that you gave the students an idea of the theme and what dishes, how many dishes of what types needed to be on the menu.
Yeah.
But then the students came up with the menu ideas. Is that?
It was kind of like there was some conversation. There's two classes that kind of work on the buffet as a whole. And there's always conversations happening about what they would like to produce.
Right.
And some of those are just like informal discussions happening during class, and some are more like, you know, we gather as a group and, talk about, the big ideas and everything. But at some point we just stop that. And I write on the whiteboard, you know, like our five salads. One will be, so say for the Oktoberfest themed one, it was like,
sure,
one salad must be a potato salad that has, you know, potato and dill. Like that's the salad. You come up with the recipe. You can put other stuff in there, but it needs to be potato and dill. One needs to be tomato and pumpkin seed. One needs to be, and so it's, they're given like this just kind of high level. So it's
kind of like a brainstorming session.
But then at some point it's kind of like set in stone where it's like, you know, one hors d'oeuvre will be cured salmon and horseradish. And like, I don't care what the canapé base is or what the vessel is, but it needs to be salmon and horseradish. We just kind of like set these lines so that we make sure that there's the variety, like we're not duplicating ingredients and they have something that they can focus on, but there's still some element of creativity.
And so when you go to the whiteboard and you say, okay, we need, one of the items is going to be a tomato salad, one of the items is going to be a cabbage salad, one of the items is going to be a potato salad, is that sort of based on the discussion of the topic that you have with the class, and then, you know, sort of then some ideas come up, and then from those ideas you draw the bones of the menu kind of, or
Yeah.
Or do you already have the bones of the idea in your head before you walk into the class?
It kind of depends on the theme, and the way the themes are decided is kind of also like a vague, like, because there's so many students and different classes involved. Sometimes it's more student driven, and sometimes an instructor just says we should do this, and that'll just make our lives good. It depends on the engagement that we get from the students. And so, like, if there's something that comes up and students have lots of ideas, then great, we'll put them up on the board. And if it's something that maybe they're not as familiar with, then we can tell
them what you need to come up with, sort of a more structured
outline. What we know, like what the instructors know about it, can help, like, introduce them to new ideas and dishes. So
I got you. Okay. So the idea is we're going to take this, like, rough structure for a menu and what dishes you would need and the theme. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to plug that into ChatGPT and we're going to see what it comes up with.
Right.
And then we'll just talk about it. Which one do you want to start with? Which is your favorite? Which is the one you're most curious about? Southern Comfort, Oktoberfest, or Pacific Rim? Because something tells me we may not get to all of them.
Oh, absolutely. So to me, the most interesting ones are Southern Comfort and Oktoberfest, because Pacific Rim was specifically chosen as a broad, like, pan-Asian, because we had students students in this group who they said, I really want to make sushi. And we had other students who were like, I really want to make, like, this style of Chinese sausage. Right. And so that was just, like, the phrase that we tacked on to, it's not even like when guests came, it's not like there was a banner over the door that said, welcome to the Pacific Rim buffet. It was just like, this is kind of like the general idea, so that we're kind of all on the same page and doing something that's more or less compatible.
I got you.
But to me, Southern Comfort and Oktoberfest are much, much narrower than an idea like Pacific Rim, which could include like British Columbia and Japan and the Philippines. It's a
large rim.
One of the biggest rims there are on the planet.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of almost the biggest rim on the planet.
Yeah.
So think about it.
So either of those, Oktoberfest was, like, kind of near and dear to me because of my love of German and Austrian food. But
okay, well, let's lead with Oktoberfest then.
Sure.
Okay.
It's just interesting to me because our other conversation about using AI for creative culinary ends, it was more in the context of a chef developing a seasonal menu or a concept menu for a new restaurant. And so it was like something that you could really groom and start to give feedback to the AI system. And this one is more for this buffet thing. It's like, if this were something that happens every week and there's a new theme every week and you need to turn over that quickly and develop 24 new items for a buffet that fits the theme, I was curious to know how it would do with that.
Right. Well, yeah, I think, like, it's just like my suspicion is that it'll be, like, really great at coming up with a lot of, like an endless list of
generic
type sort of dish ideas that then you would want to sift through to, you know, pull out the gold or whatever.
But right.
I guess we'll find out. I'm just about to tell ChatGPT to do its job here. Just give me 1 second.
You've got to winnow through it, I think. That's the word. You do a lot of winnowing at this point.
Exactly. Soon we're all going to be professional winnowers, Alan.
Well, I feel like, I'm not joking, like, my engagement, like, even though I'm an instructor at a post-secondary, like, my concerns and engagement with AI is, like, so minimal compared to people who are in more academic fields that require huge amounts of written submission. Like, I can't imagine the existential dread kind of for the next generation.
Well, and the conversations that they must have with, like, students and stuff in like writing classes and stuff, you know, like, they have to broach the subject, and I'm sure it's, like, contentious. I'm sure it's, like, a difficult thing to yeah, for professors to wrap their heads around and for mm-hmm. students to figure out their relationship with. It's like, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say to ChatGPT. I need you to provide a lunch menu with the theme of I need you to provide a lunch buffet menu with the theme of Oktoberfest. The menu must contain the following dishes along with their descriptions. And then I said, and this is the list that you gave me. 5 salads, 6 cold hors d'oeuvres, 2 hot hors d'oeuvres, 3 to 4 terrines, a cured fish dish, a sausage for carving, a fruit board, a cheese board, and a charcuterie board.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what the chat has to say.
What's the one sausage that you would pick for an Oktoberfest buffet? We ended up running with 3, I think, but...
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, exactly. It probably needs to be like several. Okay, it's doing its thing. Here's a detailed Oktoberfest-themed lunch buffet menu containing or featuring traditional Bavarian dishes alongside a variety of salads, hors d'oeuvres, terrines, and boards that align with Oktoberfest celebration.
Cut to the chase, ChatGPT. Stop.
Quit buttering me up.
Yeah.
Let's see it. Let's see the ideas. I just give me the ideas.
Give me my ideas. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's what we got, Alan. German potato salad.
Oh, real original.
I'll just read the dishes first, and then you can tell me if you want me to read the descriptions.
Sure.
Because there's a description for every dish here. I got a real menu out of this thing.
Okay, let's hear it.
And there are 5 salads, 6 cold hors d'oeuvres, 2 hot hors d'oeuvres, 4 terrines, a cured fish dish, a sausage for carving, a fruit board, a cheese board, and a charcuterie board. Okay. So
yeah, lay it on me. And so the idea is that you're like, just give us the titles of the dishes it's proposed, and then we'll maybe quickly go over the one that we came up with in class and then compare them. Or
okay, yeah, sounds good. Yeah. Oh, do you want to do that individually all the way down, or do you to just read you the menu?
Read the whole menu. Okay. I'm curious to hear it.
Okay. So for the salads, it gave me the name, and then it also gave me the name in German. So we've got German potato salad, Kartoffelsalat.
Spare us the German, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm terrible at it. Cucumber dill salad.
Mm-hmm.
Bavarian kraut salad. Beet and apple salad. Mixed greens with radishes and pickled onions.
Sounds great.
That's a salad menu. Cold hors d'oeuvres. It spelled hors d'oeuvres with the little O-E conjunction like you like. This says Obatzda. Do you know what that is? Oh, it's a classic Bavarian cheese spread.
Oh, okay.
Obatzda with pretzel bites.
Yeah.
Smoked trout canapes. Pickled herring with apples and onions. Bavarian meatballs. Mini Black Forest ham roll-ups. Asparagus wrapped in prosciutto. I don't know about that last one.
Too Italian. Then we've got
hot hors d'oeuvres. Yeah, or French. I guess it's Italian. Bratwurst bites, so hot hors d'oeuvres. Bratwurst bites with sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm.
Crispy sauerkraut balls. I don't know what that means.
What is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you want to read the description of it?
Sure, that one, yeah.
Okay, golden fried sauerkraut and cream cheese balls with a crunchy exterior and tangy, creamy center. Gross.
What is gross about that? What are you talking about?
No, I'm sure it would be delicious. The description is gross. Served with a side of mustard for dipping. So yeah, I guess they're just like, it's like a cheese ball breaded and fried. With sauerkraut in it.
Oh yeah.
I've never even heard of that actually. Sounds like it would be great. Okay, then the terrines. We've got a pork and pistachio terrine, duck liver pate with juniper berries, venison terrine with cranberries, vegetable terrine with goat cheese. It gave us a veggie dish. That's nice.
Yeah. It gave us one.
One.
Yeah. Which makes sense for Bavarian.
Yeah, exactly. Gravlax with dill mustard sauce. That's the cured fish dish.
Mm-hmm.
Sausage for carving. Vice versa. it gave us.
Kate?
Yeah. Fruit board. Vibrant selection of seasonal autumn fruits, including fresh figs, crisp apples, pears, grapes, pomegranate seeds, dried apricots, and cranberries for contrast and texture. Cheese board. A selection of European cheeses with a focus on German varieties served with crackers, rye bread, and fruit preserves. We've got Allgäuer Emmental, Bavarian Blue, Tilsiter, Camembert, and Butterkäse.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And then the charcuterie board, a variety of cured meats and sausages for a hearty Bavarian platter. We've got Schinken, Black Forest ham, Landjager, smoked and dried sausage, Bavarian Speck, cured and smoked pork belly, Leberwurst, liver sausage pate, salami, pickles, gherkins, and mustard to complement the meats. And then do you want to hear ChatGPT's conclusion?
It probably sounds a lot like the opening statement, but...
Yeah, exactly.
These are
this variety menu captures the essence of an Oktoberfest celebration with a focus on hearty, rustic, and traditional German flavors, while also offering variety and balance for a lunch buffet. So good.
It's not bad. And I think... Okay, it's quite good. And it's... We can go over the menu that we actually made in class, but... There's a lot of overlap, and there's not
A bit of crossover, right?
There's not anything that like really stands out to me as like, you know, something that we glaringly missed. And I will, like, before we go through the actual menu that we prepared, we did have like a long list that we cut down to our short list and our final menu. And there were a couple of things, like, for instance, pretzel bites. That's one thing that stood out to me where it's like, that was one of our early ideas was like, well, we need pretzel bites and beer mustard or something.
Yeah.
But making pretzels wasn't really like, we could do it.
It's not a garde-manger thing.
It's there is pastry stuff in garde-manger, like making profiteroles and barquettes and tartlets and stuff like that. But I was like, we just didn't have the bandwidth to like, we're going to like make, we have to find lye and boil pretzel dough. Like so we just nixed that one, off the hop, but that is a great idea. And there was a few things like that we were like,
that were ideas that you had thought of, but then got cut from the final menu.
Yeah. So should we just quickly read what me and students came up with and then compare?
Sure. Let's look at the salad. Let's look at it section by section, maybe.
Sure. And one thing I'll say that those last three, like the fruit, charcuterie and, cheese board, we did intentionally, like for us, those are usually more generic things. Like we can't bring in 10 different types of Bavarian cheese to fit the theme, and so like
just have a fruit, cheese, and charcuterie board on each buffet, but it's not necessarily themed the way the rest of the food is.
More or less. Yeah. Like there might be one or two items that fit it, but everything
once ChatGPT can like contact your supplier and do the ordering for you.
Oh yeah, perfect.
Then you can get it to bring in Butterkäse and whatever else you need.
Not if our supplier is still Cisco, but go on.
I mean, soon ChatGPT will just be able to place a phone call just like you could. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a future episode.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So we've got your salad section. The first thing on your salad menu here is a tomato salad, which there's no real tomato salad representation on this ChatGPT menu, which is kind of weird. It's a little weird because that is a pretty common sort of Western European or, you know, Bavarian kind of thing is to have like a marinated tomato salad.
It was interesting to me about the Oktoberfest theme is that for this, we associate it with meat and pretzels and beer and cheese, but like the salad component of an Oktoberfest theme buffet was the easiest part because there are so many, beautiful marinated vegetable salads in Germanic cuisine where it's like you like pick a vegetable and they have a salad for it. So like whether it's tomato or beet or cucumber, potato, cabbage, whatever, like just these excellent, like acidic, savory salads. And so our long list, for instance, had the, because there's a cucumber on the one that you read, right? The chat one.
Cucumber dill salad.
So we had like, that was an idea on the long list, was a cucumber salad. And we just didn't happen to have enough baby cucumbers to serve it at the buffet. So we axed that, and went with something else. But tomato, to me, like the standard, like, mixed salad that you get in most German restaurants is like potato, tomato, cucumber, and cabbage, like side by side.
So yeah, what you had was tomato, cabbage, potato, and spinach salad.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted one leafy green one in there, but
yeah, totally. Which would, I guess, be the equivalent of what ChatGPT provided as a mixed greens with radishes and pickled onions, which is probably the least kind of German of the bunch, but
I don't know. Sounds good. Like it fits to me. Like,
yeah, it would exist, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah. You had tomato, cabbage, potato, and spinach. ChatGPT had potato, cucumber, kraut,
which is cabbage,
and apple, and mixed greens. Yeah. Yeah. I guess, what does this say? Oh, yeah. No, it's just a cabbage salad.
Yeah.
Same thing. And yeah. So just like for the record, your cabbage salad has caraway, and this cabbage salad has caraway.
Right. So like a kraut salad in Germany, that is a cabbage salad. It's not like a sauerkraut cabbage.
Right. I got you.
Or sorry. It's not a sauerkraut salad. So yeah, we're like really, we arrived at the same place with some details different, but
okay. So you didn't even need to talk to the class about that.
No.
Could have just had ChatGPT do it for you.
Well, that's funny. I have the opposite. Like to me, I was like, oh yeah, we can do the same things as ChatGPT. Like, sorry, I have the opposite reaction as you. You're saying like, oh, you don't even need to talk to other people and do any thinking for yourself. You just need to ask ChatGPT. But for me, I was like, well, we don't need to ask ChatGPT because
we did it ourselves. Yeah. You're correct in your assessment. Making note of the fact that I was being sarcastic. Oh. So actually we did come to the same conclusion.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Just to clarify,
I don't actually want ChatGPT to steal the creative part of everyone's job. Okay. Should we move on to the cold hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah.
Okay. You've got smoked trout lettuce cups.
Yeah.
It sounds like a canapé to me.
Yeah. And they had smoked trout, right?
Smoked trout canapé.
Yeah.
Smoked trout served on rye bread with a dollop of horseradish cream, garnished with fresh dill and lemon zest. I like your idea better.
Well, okay. So, and the other thing that we didn't can we just say chat instead of ChatGPT?
Sure. Yeah. We can.
Is that okay?
Yeah. You can call it chatbot.
Chatbot.
Yeah.
Okay. Chatbot. Okay. Like one, we're very conscious of having gluten-free items and vegetarian items and, you know, accommodating as many dietaries as we can, like within our set buffet menu. And so smoked trout canapé became a smoked trout lettuce cup or whatever it said on the menu.
Right.
But it's interesting because chat said smoked trout and horseradish. And our cured fish option, like at the carving station, had horseradish cream on it. So it's like, again, like it's pulling the same kind of classic continental or like Central European
ingredient flavors. Ideas and
and
flavor combinations.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. You've got chicken liver mousse profiteroles. That sounds good.
It was.
Sorry, I missed it. I guess, I don't know. There's not really any
no analog.
There's
there.
Not really any force meats or anything in their cold hors d'oeuvre selection here.
I will say, like, I do associate liver very heavily with Central European cuisine. But the real mm-hmm. reason that that was put onto our menu is because we had a bunch on hand. We had a bunch of chicken liver mousse on hand. And so almost every menu will have profiteroles or like some kind of like classical European kind of canapé base like that. And so we were like, well, we're going to pipe that liver mousse into profiteroles and put sour cherries on top of it. And sour cherries is very German though. Like totally. Black forest vibes.
Okay. Then you've got duck rillette canapé on your menu. Mm-hmm. Not really anything similar on the chatbot menu.
No.
You've got salmon crepes.
Yeah.
And realize crepes was a German thing, Alan.
Yeah, Palatschinken, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you should have called them Palatschinken.
Well, it's funny because there was a lot of the menu that we like basically took, like most people in North America would associate it with a French word, but we would just like give it a German, like a croquette. A croquette, yeah. The way that we spell it in English is from the French, but in Germany they make croquetten and it's spelled with a K instead of a C. And stuff, but like it's the same thing.
I got you. There's not really anything similar. I feel like this section is much more sort of like disparate in terms of its content. Mm-hmm. Like what you guys came up with versus what we got out of the chatbot.
I think that you mean the section being the cold hors d'oeuvres, right?
Yeah, the cold hors d'oeuvres section, yeah.
I think now that we're reading it, basically the ingredients that we had on hand informed us a little bit more than the actual theme. So like we had right. made a whole bunch of duck confit, and so that's why rillette ended up on the menu, even though obviously that's a French word and preparation. I don't know if there's I can't think of a similar thing that I've come across in German or Austrian cuisine to rillette, but yeah, we had.
Oh, really?
I'm sure it exists, but yeah, I can't think of what.
To hear that. There must be some kind of like potted fat, like
some kind of
forced meat that's like held together with fat.
Mm-hmm. I'll look into it.
Yeah, please do. I want to know what to call this on the next menu we talk about. Then you've got Liptauer cucumber bites. So that's cheese spread.
Yeah, which was your Obstetten, is that what it was called?
Yeah. Obatzta.
Oh, okay. Sorry, not even close.
Obatzta. A classic Bavarian cheese spread made from camembert, cream cheese, butter, and paprika. So
yeah, and
it is still paprika based.
Yeah. Liptauer is I know Austrian better than Bavarian, but it's a fresh cheese called Topfen that is flavored with paprika and capers and anchovies and stuff like that. But again, this was like a easy win for gluten-free, I guess not vegetarian because it had anchovy in it, but gluten-free canapé. Yep. What were the hot, did it give us hot hors d'oeuvres?
Yeah, it gave us hot hors d'oeuvres. It gave us bratwurst bites with sauerkraut. So bite-sized bratwurst sausages grilled and served with a side of warm, tangy sauerkraut and a dollop of spicy mustard. There's a lot of dollops of spicy mustard on this menu.
Lovely. Great.
And then also under the hot hors d'oeuvres was the crispy sauerkraut balls.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on your hot hors d'oeuvre menu, you have chicken and mushroom croquettes. Croquetten,
I believe. Is what you, that's right, yeah.
Croquetten.
Yeah.
And then you have spinach and cheese strudel. That sounds nice.
Yeah. That's our it was delicious. Really, really good. But we did use phyllo dough. And so it was basically like what do you say? Like our Germanification of spanakopita, but but it was very good. And it's funny, like in Austria, not at like legit bakeries, like where you're buying apple strudel, like there they would always make proper strudel dough from scratch. But definitely,
which is kind of like puff, right? Am I wrong about that?
It's not like puff is laminated, so it has the the butter like layered into the dough. But strudel,
it's not laminated.
Strudel is more like phyllo, where it's like it's a lean dough that you butter and then like layer on itself, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. I worked at a restaurant in Austria where like their savory strudels were. It was like it was packaged frozen phyllo dough that they just
rolled
up and wrapped. So, but that's what we did was. Yeah, spinach and, I can't remember, some kind of salty, it wasn't feta, but it was something feta adjacent.
Oh, yeah. So it's very spanakopita-like.
Yeah, yes.
So do you think that if you had asked, if you had asked the chatbot to come up with this menu prior to you doing this buffet, do you think that you would have looked at crispy sauerkraut balls and been like, maybe I'd replace my spinach and cheese strudels with that.
I'm kind of, it's funny because like when I proposed this conversation, I forgot how many decisions that we made based on the ingredients that we had on hand. And we had 10 pounds of spinach and we don't use spinach on the regular menu. And so that was like, we've got to wilt this spinach somehow. And so that's
do you
where
think that you
came.
Would have considered making crispy sauerkraut and spinach cheese balls?
Spinach.
I mean, take the ingredient constraints out of the picture. Is that something? Do you think that this idea would have sparked your imagination, or do you think that idea specifically?
Okay, sorry. Do you mean spinach and sauerkraut cheese balls, or just the one that the chat bought? Suggested the sauerkraut and cheese ball.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that you would have looked at the crispy sauerkraut balls thing on the chatbot menu and been like, oh yeah, I think that that's interesting and I think we could do something like that.
My gut reaction is, that sounds delicious to me, sauerkraut and cheese deep fried. It doesn't sound appetizing as a general buffet preparation to me. Like someone who, because like sauerkraut's a little bit polarizing, and then combine it with cheese and I don't know. To me, it's a bit odd. I've never heard of it, and I don't know what the reception would be. And so I wouldn't rush to put it on a buffet, even though I personally want to eat that. Yeah. What's your take?
I don't know. It's interesting. I would look at it and then I would be like, is this an actual German dish? And then I'd probably go do some Googling and find out if that's like real or if like it was, or if, you know, the chatbot was just like
glitching.
What's the word that normally follows crispy sauerkraut or something? You know, like
I've never even heard of sauerkraut and cheese together, really. Like,
yeah. And I don't think I've ever had it. So,
and if I were to does it say what kind of cheese?
It says cream cheese.
Okay, I was gonna say like, yeah, I would think that a more like a fresher cheese, like not a, I wouldn't want a particularly sharp cheese with sauerkraut. But I don't know. I guess we just have to make it
and find out. Yeah, I think like this kind of food on a buffet is like. Can be great. People love to roll up and be able to grab fried food off a buffet. I think it's like satisfying and filling, and it like makes for a great hot item. It's also, in my opinion, difficult to keep the quality of where it needs to be on a buffet. For fried things, you know, you want to keep them crispy, and then you also want the contents to still be hot, but not too hot that they're going to burn somebody, but not, you know, like you don't want people to come and have like bite into a cheese ball and it's like congealed and cold and not very crispy, you know.
Yep.
Could be a bit of a logistical nightmare. If you've got a really good way of like refreshing the buffet in small amounts frequently, then it could be great, but yeah. Whereas something like your spinach and cheese strudel, I feel like would hold up a lot better. But you have croquettes on here too, so I don't know. Okay, then we've got the terrines. Well, let me see. Well, on your menu, we have the fish next, so I'll do the fish first.
Okay.
So you have cured salmon with horseradish cream. Mm-hmm. What kind of cured salmon? Gravlax?
Yes. Just okay. Gravlax.
Just Gravlax. And they have Gravlax with, and the chatbot provided us with Gravlax with dill mustard sauce, traditional cured salmon with salt, sugar, dill cure. Thinly sliced and served with tangy dill mustard sauce on the side, accompanied by pumpernickel and lemon wedges. So thoughtful.
Lovely. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely in the ballpark here.
Yes.
You say horseradish, they say dill mustard, but
mm-hmm.
we're definitely, but, and it's they had, practically the same response.
Yeah, they had horseradish on their smoked trout, so.
Yeah. Okay, the terrines. You have ham hock terrine, hot honey mustard, country pate with bacon and apricot, orange apple compote, and summer vegetable terrine, spicy tomato sauce.
Which was going to have goat cheese in it, but then we left it out at the last minute. So I think we're
that's hilarious. So yeah, you've got ham hock. There's nothing like this on the chatbot menu. There's pork pistachio terrine.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds pretty normal.
Yep.
Duck liver pate with juniper berries. So
there's our that's our chicken liver.
Chicken liver pate. Yeah. Exactly. Just like it had too many terrine ideas, so it just like put one on the cold hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
Venison terrine with cranberries.
Yeah.
Oh, this is funny. Can I read the description?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. A gamey venison terrine with a sweet tart cranberry filling, adding a festive autumnal flavor to the dish. A gamey venison terrine. Sounds like the one thing that you wouldn't want to say about it.
That's triggering for you, right? You hate that word, don't you? Gamey?
Yeah, kind of.
Super gamey.
I'm pretty sure that's for the general public, that's a word that has a negative connotation.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Sweet tart also makes me just think of Halloween candy. I should say sweet and sour, but.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. It's sweet tarts and cranberry.
That would be an interesting inclusion, an interior garnish for a pate.
For a terrine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the country pate that you have here, I guess it's just like sort of bits and pieces, right? It's just like a pork terrine.
Yeah, totally. And it was...
So it's pretty similar to what it's suggesting as like a pork pistachio terrine. It's just not quite as specific or something. Mm-hmm. Well, you say bacon and apricot, so...
Yeah,
it's pretty specific, actually.
That was, I don't know, to me, I guess I don't know about Bavaria, but like, to me, apricot is an important fruit in Austria, and... the idea, I can't remember how it came up, but someone had the idea of like using like slab bacon where you might put liver in like a country pate.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
They like sear, like did like a gratin style pate and like seared bacon and then like ground it up with the pork, and it was really good.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So like it was like had like cooked flavors, like caramelized flavors.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Like the bacon. Mm. And I think part of the pork shoulder that was part of the force was seared, like seared and
seared as well.
Raw inside, but like before it was ground. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just in looking at it, although you only have three terrines, I'm quite a bit more excited about your ham hock terrine and country pate with bacon in it.
What's the description of their veg? Of the chatbot's veg terrine?
Vegetable terrine with goat cheese. Layers of roasted vegetables like zucchini, peppers, and eggplant.
Are you serious?
It's what it says. Oh, I'm not done yet, though. It used the word like.
Right.
So, like, some vegetables similar to.
Right.
That's really weird. Layers of roasted vegetables like zucchini, peppers, and eggplant combined with creamy goat cheese, providing a lighter vegetarian option.
That's literally what we did. I can't remember if that ended up on our menu copy, but like it was.
No, doesn't really. It's not very specific.
Ours
on your
was
menu
zucchini,
copy.
Bell pepper, and eggplant. That's
it. Oh, really?
That's what was in it. But we, and then we didn't add the goat cheese at the end, but Yep, that's a good like for a meat heavy menu, you need something like that. I like the addition of game. Like I think a game tureen would have been a good. So we didn't really have any wild game on ours, and that's.
Did you have any on hand that you could have used?
Not on hand, but we had like we could have ordered some, but.
Okay, well, and then I don't know if it's worth going through the charcuterie and the cheese if you don't think that. I mean, clearly the chatbot's going to have a more like theme oriented
right
selection, so we don't necessarily need to go through it. And I already read them off already.
But I do like
you have Monterey Jack on your cheese platter, so I think we're.
Monterey Jack is in northeastern Germany, I think. I can't remember.
That's right. <yeah. laughs> Exactly. Mount Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jacob.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you think it did, Alan?
Oh, but wait, sausage. The sausage carving station.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. I forgot about that. You're right. Sorry. I just missed it.
Weisswurst.
So right? Yeah, on your sausage station, you had Weisswurst, chicken bratwurst, and Käsekreine.
Yeah. And they had
Weisswurst. And I only asked it for one sausage right. And it gave me Weisswurst.
Yeah.
Do you want me to ask for two more sausages?
Do you mind? Yeah. Well, like, but the thing is like chicken bratwurst is not a common thing in Bavaria, but we wanted, like, we had a very pork heavy menu. So we specifically made a bratwurst that was, it was the exact seasoning that we would put into like a Nuremberg style sausage, but we used chicken instead of pork.
I see.
And the Käsekreine, even though it's, maybe they make it in Bavaria, I only know it from Austria. It was just like, you know, the charcuterie team had extra time and they wanted to make a fun sausage. So that's what we made.
Right. Cause you already are familiar with it.
So they're not specifically Bavarian, but they kind of fit they were theme adjacent. So what did it come up with?
Okay. So first off, it came up with Weisswurst, Bavarian white sausage, traditional Bavarian sausages made from veal pork, delicately flavored with parsley, lemon, and cardamom, served with freshly baked pretzels. Which, yeah.
Cardamom.
Sweet Bavarian mustard and sauerkraut.
I didn't know they were flavored with cardamom.
What's that?
I didn't know that cardamom was a common flavoring in Weisswurst.
I mean, it may not be. The word cardamom may have just been sometimes adjacent in several articles.
Because sometimes, like, if sometimes when ChatGPT says something like that, you can be like, well, I'm a sausage expert and there's never cardamom and vice versa. And it will just be like, oh yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Exactly. It could very well be hallucinating all the ingredients. We don't know. Additional research required. And then you had vice versa first on your menu. Mm-hmm. Then you had chicken bratwurst, but you said you used ingredients similar to Nuremberger sausage.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, the chatbot's additional two ideas are Nuremberger roast bratwurst.
Yes, that's what we made, only with chicken instead of pork. Yep.
Right. And then its third suggestion is, and yours was what? Käsekreine.
So cheese smoky, basically. German cheese smoky. Right.
Oh, man, it's so good. Your Käsekreine is so good. Okay. ChatGPT's third suggestion was Krakauer sausage, Polish style.
Okay.
A smoked sausage with robust flavor made from a blend of pork and beef, seasoned with garlic, pepper, and coriander, has a smoky, savory taste and slightly coarser texture, making it a perfect option for slicing and serving with mustard, pickles, and rye bread.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good counterpoint to the Weisswurst and the Nuremberger.
Yeah, so, having a smoked sausage is a good idea.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who wins, Alan.
I mean, for now, the humans win.
Yeah.
Because they did the same. Well, I mean, it took several hours of labor.
Took a class full of humans and several hours.
We didn't generate the menu in 10 seconds.
Oh man, after I inputted the original what do you call that
prompt
prompt after I inputted the original prompt, and you were like still talking, and I was watching it come up, and I was just like, oh my god, this is crazy.
It's probably like 1,000 words,
just like dish after dish after dish after dish after dish. Yeah. You know, like what you could do, Alan, for next time, if you really want to sort of like explore what the options are before you go and brainstorm the menu with your class, you could just like put in this a similar prompt, but instead of saying like that you need 5 salads, 6 cold hors d'oeuvres, 2 hot hors d'oeuvres, 3 to 4 terrines. You could say you need 50 salads, 60 cold hors d'oeuvres, 20 hot hors d'oeuvres, 30 to 40 terrines. I think that would give you like
That sounds like more
I think that would give you a broad selection.
Right. What would it do if... Oh my God. What would it
actually,
do
I'm
going
to do that right now. I want to find out, Alan.
Like, can you give me 50 Bavarian themed terrines? Go.
Yeah, exactly. 50 salads.
Because it's like
60 cold.
We're not doing 1 week of Oktoberfest themed buffet. We're running a restaurant called Oktoberfest Buffet, and we need to do this every day.
Yeah, and we need to have different dishes every day.
Because that is something that's part of my, like for some projects, that's part of my process where it's like, if I know that I need to come up with something new every, whatever it is, whatever, every week or every month or every year, like if I brainstorm for 10 minutes right now, like how far into the future can I get myself?
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of like a feasibility test where it's like, is it even possible to keep this up kind of thing? But
yeah, exactly. And then, you know, like how many ideas do you have off the top of your head? And then how many ideas do you think that you can research? You know, like you do a little bit of research and see the breadth of what's out there, and then, you know, okay, I'm about to hit return on this. It might take a while.
It won't take that long.
It's though. Doing, oh, it's kind of complaining a little bit.
Your request is
I took out the descriptions. I told it to leave out the descriptions. And it's like the first thing that it said is, creating such an extensive menu with the theme for Oktoberfest is a large scale task or something.
Can you please tell it not to talk back to you?
Okay. Oh, it's done the salads. I've got 50 salads. The first 5 are the same. Then we've got carrot raisin salad, lentil salad with bacon and onions, red cabbage slaw, pickled beet and a horseradish salad, quinoa salad with Bavarian vegetables, arugula pear, walnut salad with goat cheese, Waldorf salad, grain mustard potato salad, spinach salad with bacon and mushrooms, tomato and onion salad with balsamic glaze. Oh, balsamic glaze. Come on, ChatGPT.
And then tell it that it can't duplicate any ingredients. And then it'll be there's only 24 vegetables that Westerners eat. Like, what are you talking about?
What do you want me to do? Yeah. And yeah, I mean, some of these are obviously bad, but it gave me 60 suggestions for cold hors d'oeuvres. Like, you know, so if you're looking for a tool for brainstorming, you just want to hear a whole bunch of ideas that you like the terrines. Oh, I asked for 30 to 40 terrines and it only gave me 20. I don't know how it misunderstood that, but some of these sound great. There's a pheasant and hazelnut terrine on here, salmon terrine with dill, pork and apple terrine, chicken and leek terrine, smoked ham terrine, pork belly terrine with mustard, roasted vegetable terrine, beef tongue terrine, lamb and rosemary terrine, smoked duck terrine, goose liver pate, Bavarian meat terrine with beer. Like, there's some good ideas in here.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So weird.
But it's still, okay. So in terms of, I know it's naive and like, no one is fully protected from AI. Your job is not safe. But like, it's a great way for generating ideas, but someone still has to make this food. And so that's my one bit of solace is like, we still have to use our hands to, and I know that's coming eventually too, but like the robots that make terrines, those are the last ones that they're going to develop. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like they're going to make auto.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, robots will build cars 100 years
before they make all of our food.
Yeah. Before they make force meat, basically.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. And knowing how to make it well is a different, you know, like, I don't know, like it's kind of a weird thing to say because like in terms of consistency, if you can teach a robot how to make a terrine really well, it's going to make it really well every time. But yeah, I think it's, I think it's probably extremely tricky to get it to make it really well. You know, like it's not like I couldn't come up with 60 salads. I can't do it in 30 seconds.
Are you bragging right now? I'll come up with like 100 salads.
Real
wanted,
talk, Alan.
If I wanted to, I just don't feel like it right now.
No, but like none of these ideas are outside of what I would consider to be like my repertoire of understanding.
Right.
You know, in terms of food. And but like you said, it's all dependent on a lot of constricting factors, like what do you have on hand and what do you have access to? And I mean, obviously there are even more factors in your case because you have a curriculum to uphold. But but like I do think that like if you need to like I kind of feel like the trajectory that we're on right now with AI is like being able to provide more information in a prompt more easily is sort of like where the movement is as far as like consumer facing things that like that they're doing with AI tools. So like being able to speak to it, being able to get it to look at pictures or videos and then
right,
you know, take the information that's in the picture and the video and incorporate that into something that you're asking it to do. Like for instance, like with some of the models that are available now, you can it will like identify things in pictures and you can tell it to use the information in the picture as a part of a prompt. And so you can take a picture of your ingredients, like of your inventory list of everything that you have in your fridge, right, and say, make me a menu that, you know, constrains to this theme that incorporates these ingredients and only a small amount of other ingredients that we would need to procure or something right, like that. So I, you know, like I do think that, you know, what we are doing here is a very rudimentary test of where the actual state of the art is. Mm-hmm. Like there are ways to, like, for instance, you know, at my work, we have all of our inventory in a computer database, mm-hmm, and it would be very easy to export that database of ingredients and preparations and feed it into a chatbot and say, hey, what can I make for Thanksgiving dinner out of these ice cream ingredients? I don't know.
Right.
You know, like, so this, you know, like that we're just like really scratching the surface here. And I think that these tools are a lot more powerful than now than the first time that we sort of had this conversation about like this brainstorming thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're like in terms of any kind of actual value that this type of tool could like, you know, sort of provide for, you know, for chefs, I think like, you know, this brainstorming thing is probably one of the most, yeah, one of the most tangible or
yeah,
something like that. It would require the least sort of amount of like upfront sort of work to structure it in a way where it would actually be useful. You know, you can just get yeah, a bunch of ideas for it and then use your own brain to figure out which ones make sense and which ones don't for right, your own particular
for your operation. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's exactly that what you were talking about, like the power of the large language model has shown itself, but it hasn't quite, well, I mean, Shale, it's not like I don't follow it. I don't read tech blogs and stuff. Do people still write
yeah,
blogs?
Which I
you
do,
do
kind of.
So, but like yeah, what someone, like when we were, I was talking about it with someone at work, and they were like, I felt like to them, they were hypothesizing, but to me, it was like, oh no, this will happen. Like maybe not next week, but it will happen like in the next 5 years or sooner. But it were like what you're talking about, where you can take a bunch of different types of media inputs and say like, okay, yeah. their example was, I want you to design a house for me. And here is my Pinterest feed from the last 15 years and like my design sensibility. And here is the footprint that I have for the house. Here's my budget. Here's my, you know, like all of these things like that could be Excel files and could be Instagram feeds from 10 years ago and stuff like that. And just, it's like, design the house, give me a timeline, a chore list or like a task list for contacting builders, like that kind of thing. And it would just produce
like
that
material cost estimates and
and it,
like, labor cost estimates. And
I don't know what platform is the closest to having that kind of connectivity right now, but like that will exist in the next few years, right? Yeah. Like it surely will.
Yeah. Definitely within the next 5 years, I think for sure. There's like sort of an interstitial step there where it's like you have to, like, I think you'll also need a way to organize the data that you're feeding it in order to be able to leave out things that you don't want. Because if you like, sort of like I was talking about recently about, you know, like having 10,000 recipes or something in my notes database, you know,
but you couldn't like, find that one recipe card at the start of this conversation. So
one physical recipe card managed to elude me. Yeah. but yeah, like I wouldn't want to, you know, like I wouldn't want to point an AI at all of that information and be like, hey, here's the recipes that I'm aware of, you know, design a menu from this. Like I would want, you know, like if it was going to, I don't have a Pinterest, but if it was going to look at my Pinterest from the last 10 years, like I would want it to go through and categorize the Pinterest data and then pretend and then like, and then show it to me in a way where I can say, yes, include this. No, don't include that. Yes, include this. No, don't include that or whatever, you know, to organize that stuff to make sure that it's getting the right impression about what I want to include in the idea for the design of the house.
I mean,
rather than just have it decide or whatever, you know, it needs to be a dialogue.
It would be more like you already have a Pinterest thread or whatever it's called that is called My Dream House.
Yeah, exactly. You've already organized that data. If you've already organized that data, then that's easy, right? But like I think a lot of people's problem is that they don't have that data organized. And I think like that's going to be one of the pieces that's going to have to happen in order for like real collaboration to take place using these kinds of tools is like some way of like organizing people's mountains of data or whatever.
I need to do, I'll never do it because I don't have time, but I want to do, because I always hear about the existential threat of AI. And to me, I just don't understand where, so like even something like that, say that dream house, that dream home example, where it's like all of this computation going into helping you like do creative work and then tackle the logistics and planning around building something like that. It's still like you need the money and the capital to build a house and you still need to contact the people. And so like at some point it's like the rubber needs to hit the road, and I don't understand yet. I'm sure it'll probably become painfully obvious to me soon enough, but like why it's an existential threat, where it's like, because things still need to do the work,
like,
so I don't know. I just don't get it.
I agree with you there. And also, like, someone has to make the computers and, you know, someone has to make the data centers that run this stuff, and someone has to figure out how to make AIs better. And those are jobs that people need to have. And someone needs to build tools that make these things accessible to be able to help people. And I don't know, you know, like it's way more complicated than AI is coming for everyone's jobs, you know. But I understand. I also like the existential threat of of like new technology coming for everyone's jobs. And I'm not saying that the threat doesn't exist. I'm just saying that, like, you know, like, I think that, you know, this just consistently happens over and over, you know, like, there's like a stupid example that everyone talks about, but like when they were inventing automobiles, the horses,
CGP Grey, right?
Right. But like there was like an idea, what was it? Like one of the very first like automobile prototypes had like a fake horse on the front of it because that's what people had in their head for how you got around. Like that's what people had in their head as a conveyance, right? Like it's like a horse-drawn carriage. So they built a thing with a motor in it, but they put a fake horse on the front. Otherwise everybody would think it was like really weird that there was like a horseless carriage or something like that. And so sometimes you just can't see the type of change that is going to happen before it happens. And so it's really hard to diagnose where the threats are, you know, and I'm not saying that there aren't threats, but I do think that, you know, trying to diagnose them before you have the information that you need is just kind of a road to go down. That's like more stressful than it needs to be or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think that we will figure out solutions to these problems as they pop their heads up, but you know, I could be wrong about that. Skynet might go live tomorrow, and
you're the eternal optimist, aren't you? We'll figure it out. Don't worry, guys.
I don't know what I am, Alan.
You guys worry too much. It's gonna be fine.
You guys worry too much. The AIs are gonna be fine. They're gonna make perfect terrines. Just you watch.
The force meat will be perfectly emulsified. Don't worry about it.
Hey, listeners. You can help support Food Court and access great bonus content by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/foodcourtpod. If subscriptions aren't your thing, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Food Court is recorded in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Your hosts are Alan Sutterby and Shale McDonald. Theme music by Ryan McDonald. To get new episodes on the day they're released, follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. We love to hear from you all. Please drop us a line at feedback@foodcourt.fm or find us on Instagram @foodcourtpodcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a fresh new episode. Thanks for listening.